1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We welcome you to another edition of Feldis and Kale. We are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, serving the Concord area family's car care needs since 1995. You can find them at 124 Store Street in Concord. Call them at 603-225-7988 or on the web at weedfamilyautomotive.com. And Dan, great to see you today.
It's great to see you too, Ken.
I know you're on the mend.
You got a haircut.
I did.
That's great.
Yeah. Doesn't take much. It takes about 2 minutes to do my hairstyle, but yes, I did. I had to get one for my weekend getaway to Army and the Meadowlands.
How was it?
You know, I'll tell you what. Anybody who has any interest in college football at all, or just to see a spectacular spot, I would recommend West Point highly, highly. It's right
That's
on the
nice praise.
It's on the banks of the Hudson River. Mikey Stadium, where they play, has been around a long time. It's one of the great sports venues of America. It was my first time there this weekend. Just spectacular. The campus is unbelievable. The flyovers, the parachute landings on the field before and before the game and at halftime were amazing. Just a great, great atmosphere at Army.
How'd your UConn Huskies fare?
Not well. The final score was 52-21 in favor of Army, but I sort of expected that. It was just a fabulous day, though. Beautiful weather, and just if anybody has any interest, it's a great part of the country up there in upstate New York, and it's about 50 miles north of New York City, and just a great, great venue for anyone to check out. So this is World Gratitude Day, by the way, World Gratitude Day, and we are grateful here at WKXL, Feldis and Kale specifically. And once again with us, the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, Miriam Carter. Miriam, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful for such a lovely intro. That was wonderful. Thank you. And I'm certainly grateful to have the opportunity to be here and talk to you about what the league is up to these days.
Oh, boy. And I'll tell you what, the last time you were here, you were talking about the craft fair, the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen's Fair at Lake Sunapee, and wow, from all I read and heard, it was terrific.
Yeah, it was a huge success. We are so delighted with the response. Everyone likes numbers, so my favorite number is when I hear that my artists, who are juried members of the organization, have had a successful year. It's a lot to celebrate because our mission is to support these individuals. So the big number I can report is that the artists in 2019 sold $2.3 million worth of work in total at the fair that year. This year they sold $2.75 million.
Wow.
So over $450,000 more in sales. And we were actually down artists. We were 16 less booths than we normally had. Our gate was about the same amount of people that came through, around 20,000. But our artists really knocked it out of the park. And our guests were just so excited to be there in person. They felt safe, they felt welcome, and they certainly were in a buying mood. So we are totally grateful.
Boy, I would guess so. Again, you said over $2.7 million in sales?
Correct. Yeah, that's the total sales of all the booths holders. So
yeah,
that's a lot of craft.
And especially when you were down 16 booths from the previous Arts Fest there.
Well, yeah. Right. And yeah. I need to say that I think we benefited from a lot of things. I think people were happy to spend money and have a place to go to spend it. And supporting local handmade craft has been a big part of our messaging over the past year and a half. So I think people are very much supporting the talent in New Hampshire and the members of the league. So we're grateful. We have a great relationship with the Vail Corporation, who hosts us at Mount Sunapee Resort. And the people kept coming, and we were happy to see them. And now we're already planning for next year, which is kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah. And now, will there be more booths next year? Were there fewer because of social distancing, or what was the story?
Yeah, that wasn't our choice. It was actually the effects of COVID. We had some members who simply weren't comfortable. We took a lot of time and thought to put together a plan that spaced the booths apart. So we worked with a number we had. We were down by 16, but not because we couldn't accommodate them, but because they chose not to do the event. And we always have some fluctuation. People retire from making craft.
Sure.
Yeah. Not everybody keeps doing it to their last day, but some of us will do that.
Yeah. Well, an amazing event. And Miriam, for everything you do, thank you so much.
Well, thanks.
Supporting local folks, supporting New Hampshire. Just amazing work, amazing event. What kind of things do you have coming up down the pike in the next several months? Obviously, this is such a big event. You prepare year-round for it, but what are some of the other things that folks should be aware of?
So we actually have an event this weekend called the Capital Arts Fest, and it's an event that played off of an event that happened here 5 years ago in Concord when Main Street was re-envisioned and all the work was done there, and they had a celebratory weekend in May. I think it was back in 2016. So we wanted to build on that, so we actually started creating the Capital Arts Fest, and this is the fifth year of that event, including the first year. And we're very excited. We have about 40 artists who are coming, but the big news is that we partnered with other creative entities in the city. The bookstores, the Capital Center for Arts, various entities throughout Main Street area, but also in satellite spots throughout the city. So it's a great weekend to come and celebrate what we have to offer here. And whether it's raining or it's sunny, just come on down and enjoy, because you can go to indoor events, you can come to the craft fairs, which we have tents, so it's comfortable to be outside, but it's going to be wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah, I always look forward to it. It's great to see those big white tents out on South Main Street. It really is filled with such great and creative works of art. It's really, truly amazing. I just wish it lasted for a longer period of time than basically it comes down to 2 days, mainly Saturday and Sunday. I know the kickoff is going to be on Friday, but basically 2 days. But folks that want to attend the event just have two short days to do it. So take advantage of it this weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, and it's a lot of fun. And and again, now Miriam, it's great to see these pieces of art, and they're all spectacular. Are they for sale as well?
Oh yeah, yep. That's the whole purpose of a craft show, is that artists can bring their work forward. They're all in their own booths, and they can bring their work forward, much like they do at the annual Craftsman's Fair at Mount Sunapee Resort. For any professional craftsman, this is just another event on their schedule. Fortunately, our events have been able to be held. Many of our peers' events throughout the country have been canceled because of COVID. So I'm grateful that we produce outdoor events. Dan, you asked about future events. We'd love to create indoor events in the future, maybe something around the Christmas time, but not going to do that until the world gets sane again regarding pandemic.
Yeah.
Everything's for sale. Our gallery will be open on Main Street at headquarters. We have our permanent collection out for display. That's our first opening since the pandemic, so we're excited to be doing that.
Oh, great.
And we're going to start doing exhibitions after this one so that we come back to some form of normal life.
Well, that would be terrific, and we all look forward to that, of course. But this event, co-sponsored by the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, the Greater Concord Chamber of Commerce, and the Capital Center for the Arts, and also generous support from the state of New Hampshire.
We are grateful to the state of New Hampshire. That JPP program that Travel and Tourism provides is really important. They support half of our funding for any kind of marketing that we do. And I know the League relies on that as a critical piece of getting the word out. So we brought the Capital Arts Fest to the attention of the JPP folks, and they were happily supporting us. So we are grateful about that, too.
And what are the hours for folks who are listening? What's the hours Saturday and Sunday?
So, Saturday is 10 to 5. Sunday is 10 to 4.
Okay. And if you are going downtown, like where would you park? Do you have recommendations on that?
Yeah,
and that kind
parking.
Of thing?
The big issue in Concord. I'm not from the city, so I'm going to have a hard time pulling the names out. But basically, South Main is where we are closing it. And on Sunday, from South Main down to Pleasant, there actually will be some closures. So
okay.
Pay attention. But on either side of Main Street, You're able to either east or west, you're able to find parking on the street or lots. Yeah. And the city does have great indoor parking lots.
It's yeah, they got
people
some garages.
Don't use them. They use, yeah. So yeah,
down by Hermanos. Or
yeah, exactly. Right, so we're not very far from Hermanos. So that's a great place to park. And street parking is also available. So just read signs. Make sure you're parking in the right spot.
That's it. And, of course, being the weekend, the garages are not as full as they would be during the course of the week when, you know, other businesses are taking place. And I usually park at the garage by Hermanos in back of the Red River Theater in that area. That would be a good place to park for this event. Coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully it'll be good weather, but as Miriam pointed out, if not, everything that you want to see, all the juried craftspeople are under tents. So, whether it rains or not, or whether it's a beautiful day, it's going to be a great occasion, very festive. And another great opportunity, Dan, for everyone to do their Christmas shopping.
Never too early to do it.
And you know, I always say this, but it's so true. I mean, you get a unique gift by either a New Hampshire craftsperson, or I understand there may be some from outside New Hampshire as well, Miriam. Is that true?
That is. We do have some invited guests.
Yeah. So, but whatever it is, whether it's made by a New Hampshire craftsperson or someone from outside of the state, it's going to be unique. It's going to be one of a kind.
It's going to be a great gift. And there is no replacement for making sure that you knock out your Christmas list early. Trust me. I've been in those binds before.
Yeah, I know. You know, I used to do a lot of my Christmas shopping, at convenience stores, like on Christmas Eve, at gas stations, but you don't have to do that. If you plan well and get to this event over the weekend, you'll have plenty of opportunities to get something very, very special for those on your list. So,
You can hit the farmer's market.
Yeah, that's true.
Stroll down the street and
Saturday morning, absolutely, and walk down. That's on North Main. You walk down to South Main and, enjoy the arts and enjoy the food. Now, are there going to be any food vendors, Miriam?
It's always a big question. Yeah. We always have the question about food trucks, but food trucks are hard to get to Concord, evidently. A lot of our businesses here actually leave Concord to do events elsewhere. So we rely heavily on the city's wonderful restaurants, and we're encouraging them to stay open later and to be in a celebratory mood as we are this weekend. I'd also like to encourage people to go to our website, and there's a link there for the Chamber's website where there's a schedule of all the events. So, there's an event on Saturday at Canterbury Shaker Village. They're having a little craft show too. Capital Center for the Arts has performances all weekend. The Concord Community Music School also does. Hatbox Theater is doing something, and the Call of Shepherd Discovery Center, they have an event, an art workshop. NHTI, we really tried to reach out to all the local entities to see how they could participate, because we want to celebrate Concord, and this is something we'd like to build on. If it's a success, we'd like to make it an annual event to draw people here. And a lot of our marketing went locally, but also outside of the city. Everyone, I think, should know about Concord. It's a wonderful place to live and to work and to visit. So, and of course, the Capitol will be open too. They made arrangements to have tours on that weekend. Yep. So that's pretty exciting for folks who are history buffs.
Well, Dan has certainly spent a lot of time under the Golden Dome in his career, so he knows it very well. But it's amazing that so many people that live in this area have never ventured into the State House.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful State House, and working with the Greater Concord Chamber of Commerce, Tim Sink and others, we worked out an arrangement with the state to open up the State House on special occasions. That arrangement continues to this day. And the Granite State Ambassador Program and other people who give the tours do a terrific job giving the tours of the State House. And you just learn a whole heck of a lot by doing that. And there's so much history. And I just encourage people to give it a shot. Do the farmer's market, do the fair. Buy some gifts, knock off your Christmas list, go tour the historic State House. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
you've got lots to do in New Hampshire this weekend.
Yeah, I was talking to someone recently, a Concord native, by the way, and she told me that she was going to take, with a number of other folks, friends of hers, a walking tour of Concord. And apparently there is an app that is available where, you know, you can take it's not done, you know, it's an app that you can purchase, or, you know, you'd have to check this out. I don't know all the details, but you can take a walking tour with a group of your friends. You don't need a tour guide. You have everything you need to know on the app, which is a great thing because there are so many historic buildings in such a short or close proximity to one another in downtown Concord, in the area of the State House. So much history right there. And it's very common for people who have lived in a city all their life never to explore things that are close to them. You know, they may go out of town. They may go to Boston and walk the Freedom Trail, or go to New York and explore there, or other parts of the country or the world. But sometimes you don't explore what's in your own backyard. And there are so many things to explore in the downtown Concord area. And Miriam, you've seen it probably closer than we have over recent years. Such an expansion of the arts community, not only the visual arts, the programs that you're involved with, but the performing arts as well. And, you know, for such a small city, really, I know we're the state capital, but, relatively small city, there are just so many things going on in the world of art in all forms.
There are. I'm kind of amazed. I'm not from this area, and I was chuckling as you were talking about folks who live in an area and that they don't know what is there. I live at the foot of Mount Monadnock over in the Monadnock region, and I have a lot of people in my life who've never climbed the mountain. So
yeah,
looking at the capital, if you live in Concord, seems like a far more accessible kind of experience. But I think Concord really has evolved into being a wonderful performance, especially musical performance city.
Yeah.
I think we can continue to work on visual arts. The league stayed here specifically when it was facing a change of location because folks like Steve Dupre and Tim Sink and Byron Champlin advocated for the organization to stay in the city. And I can see why now that was so important. I hope that the city will continue to evolve and to develop. I think part of this event is really just, you know, raising our hand and waving like a flag saying, we're here, come see us, come learn about us. One day I hope that this event can go on the length of Main Street, just with great booths of art and craft and food. That's my dream, my vision. I know the mayor shares it with me. We're going to see what happens. This year is an attempt to get everyone. It's a challenging year to do it, but getting everyone who's interested to participate with us. I hope to have even greater participation in the years to come. Have maybe parades. You know, maybe we can have really special events through the evening for folks. But we want people to celebrate Concord. It's a great city.
Absolutely.
So does it get bigger every year? You said this is the fifth annual event. Does it get bigger? Are there more involved, more craftsmen and women participating year after year?
Basically, we fluctuate. Basically, we started, I think, with 24. Then one year we had close to 70, and now we're at 40. And part of that is we can accommodate as many people who are interested in it, but we're always up against other organizations' schedule. And this year, especially, what happened was a lot of the spring shows that were planned for the spring in the craft world were actually canceled and moved to the fall. So artists are having big decision-making moments, saying where do they want to go, where do they want to be. So I think we'll always continue to grow this. But this year, we're kind of in the middle of what we've had before. So and I will say this, it depends on the success of sales. Craftsmen are business people, and it really depends on their sales and their success at this. Those people who have weighed in or participated for the past 4 years or 3 years for us have done quite well and have returned. So you can only encourage other people to come and take a chance.
That's exactly why you need to get your Christmas list done
exactly.
This weekend. Get out there, shop, support these crafts people, and support local culture.
Without question.
My favorite part about any event we do is having people walk away with, you know, handful of gifts and packages and saying, all my Christmas shopping is done. Because why not take advantage of an event where you can buy handmade work from a local artist? It doesn't get much better than that from my perspective.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Capital Arts Fest coming up this weekend in downtown Concord, Saturday and Sunday. Our guest is Miriam Carter. She is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. We'll have more Feldis and Kale coming right up. 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldis and Kale, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Weed Family Automotive, serving the greater Concord area and families all over the region since 1995. You can find them at 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call them at 603-225-7988 or on the web at weedfamilyautomotive.com. Our guest today on Feldis and Kale is Miriam Carter. She is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, and we're talking specifically today about the big weekend coming up, Capital Arts Fest 2021, taking over downtown Concord, or at least a portion of the downtown Concord area, specifically on South Main, Saturday and Sunday, all sponsored by the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, the Greater Concord Chamber of Commerce, Capital Center for the Arts, and generous support from the state of New Hampshire. We're talking before the break, Miriam and Dan, about getting out there and buying your Christmas gifts and supporting these great artists. Miriam, can many of these artists make a living doing what they're doing, or do, generally speaking, they have to do something else to support themselves?
That's a great question. So our membership is made up of a variety of different models. We do have professional craftsmen who walk, you know, who do shows year round and travel the country or travel the New England region. Then there's some who supplement their income. They have an everyday job and they do it as a hobby. There's folks who are in big professions whose longing throughout their life was to be an artist. So they're in retirement and now they're doing it as something that they've waited for a long time to be able to do, not necessarily relying on the money that they receive from selling their work, but just enjoying the process. And then there's folks who just want to sell wholesale. So they go through our galleries. We have 7 galleries throughout the state, and they're not interested in doing shows, but they do want to get their work out into the world. So it's a variety of reasons, but they're, you know, I supported myself for 32 years as a craftsperson. I traveled the country doing that. So we certainly have an interesting blend of people who make a living from this. I will say it's more, it's when you're looking at retirement, which I started looking at a few years ago, you know, it's not something that you are expected to make a big income with, but it's a quality of life. And those who choose it, I don't think have any regrets. I certainly didn't. I'm just glad that I'm no longer on the road because I'm older and traveling is a little more challenging. And I love advocating for the arts. That's equally as fun as making a piece of craft.
You must have a whole wealth of amazing stories from your travels.
I do.
if you care to
But I don't know if we can air any of those on the radio, Dan. Well, it's a family show.
Yeah, that's true. WKXL and NH Talk Radio.
Family radio here.
Buddhist, yes. Or the FCC. I don't know. One of the three. But if you...
I have a few clean ones.
No. Okay. Oh, good.
Well, let's hear... whether it's just a good story or a good story with meaning or both.
Yeah.
What's one that pops to mind that's suitable for radio?
Well, the first one is that I did a show once out in Denver, Colorado, called Cherry Creek. It's a renowned show. It's a very difficult show to get into. And I hope people realize that when you apply for these shows, not the league per se, but when you apply for a show, you're up against the best in the country. So you're against the top 20%. So when you get into a show like that, you're really excited. But it's an outdoor show in Denver, Colorado. And as much as we think that The weather's always going to be perfect, or hope for that for a weather for an event. It often isn't. So I was in my tent when a microburst occurred, and literally my tent, which was a substantial tent with weighted with big water barrels, moved 2 feet as I was standing in it because a microburst happened. A big wind came up, lifted everything, pushed the tent back. And that happened like without planning. It's just like, wow, what just happened? So that was fascinating. A little scary. Didn't lose any product, which is great. I used to sell handmade hats, so luckily none flew. A few fell off the rack, but that was amazing. And then I think what made me really happy over the years was if I built a reputation in a certain area, and I did a lot of shows in Michigan because the Ann Arbor region is a really craft-loving area. Often a collegial town is where we will find our audiences. And I had a woman walk in, and she had bought hats from me for years. And she said, "I've come to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I just built a closet for my hats. It's called the Miriam Carter closet."
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
And I'm grateful because, I don't expect a statue in my lifetime, but to know that there's a closet out there
dedicated
to my hats, I'm okay with that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, who knew?
Wow.
Wow.
That is really something. Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm gearing up. I haven't done a show in a long time, but there's the Dublin Art Tour, also known as the Monadnock Art Tour, is happening on Columbus Day weekend. So I decided to sign up for that because I want to remember and keep in mind what craftspeople have to go through to do their work. So the first thing I had to do was clean out my studio, which is challenging. And then luckily I have enough inventory from my past life that I can build on that. But it's a lot of work, and it is truly a labor of love to be an artist and to sell your work. But the folks who come through and acknowledge it and buy from you, really just every sale is a gift. I think we're all filled with gratitude when people acknowledge the work that went into a handmade object.
Yeah. Yes, and this is World Gratitude Day, by the way. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Those are great stories.
Yeah. They really are. Do you have a closet named in your honor, Dan Feldes? I know I don't.
I don't know. As far as I know, no. But maybe there's a listener out there that has something.
I mean, how many people
call into the show?
How many people would, have a closet? And that had to be something, Miriam, to get that information.
Do you still make some hats?
I do. Yeah.
You do?
Yep.
Okay.
I still have an active studio in the sense that it's all there. I just don't get to it very often.
Yeah.
But I'm inclined to get back into it. I either do one of two things on my spare time. I either garden and change out my backyard often, or I work in the studio and create things.
And what fabric do you – oh, wait, you use felt. That's right.
I
remember
memory.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a felt maker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so
Mr. Feldes would remember
fiber.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would remember that.
it's in my name.
But it's this mainly felt, or do you use some other?
Yep, all I need is some wool fiber.
Okay.
Preferably from merino sheep, and I'm good to go. A little soap and water, I can make my product.
Wow.
It's not that simple, but basically it is that simple. It's, it's the natural fibers have wonderful properties, and I take advantage of those and create interesting fabrics and then block them on the hat molds that I have.
Wow. Interesting.
And that is. And so generally speaking, Miriam, how long, when you're, an artist like that or craftsperson, would you spend at shows during the course of a year? How many weeks would you be on the road trying to, make people aware of your of what you do and hopefully sell some items along the way?
So I was out on the road about 2 times a month, so 20 to 24 shows a year nationwide. Yeah. I had the ability to fly because I had a lightweight product, and I'm a great packer. I come from a heritage of people who moved around a lot. My grandfather's a merchant marine, so I knew how to pack things up tightly and get them shipped off at a reasonable price. So I could move around pretty easily, but 20 to 24 shows is often the norm. As I went along and started getting into higher quality shows and having better sales, I could knock it down to 12 to 15. So a variety of, depended on the year, the economy, the weather, it all, that affects a craft show and artists all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, sure. And Dan, think about that though. I mean, on the road, half of the year, basically, and then the other half must be spent in actually creating the product, correct?
Yep.
It's like a rock band.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Without backup, though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You're on your own. Yeah.
Your own.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got to be very taxing. And, as you said before, for most, a labor of love.
Absolutely. It's about your quality of life. And I think most of my artists in the organization, they really are aware of their quality of life, and it matters. You know, not every job or every person in this society thinks that way. They just think a 9-to-5 job is what you have to do to live. And I think there's individuals, and they are represented well in the arts, that want to live a different quality of life and make different choices.
And just like, you know, just like everything, regardless of the profession, knowing what goes into the background and all the detail and all the training and all the work, I think sometimes, and it's, you know, natural, I think sometimes folks think, well, you know, look, there's some art there, there's a sculpture, there's a craft, and they think maybe, you know, they could just pick it up and do it like on a whim or something. But there is so much, just like any profession, that goes into it. How long did it take you to learn how to make, in your specific situation, Miriam, learn how to really nail that craft of making those felt hats?
There were a lot of duds along the way, you know, so I have to say it took, you know, I was hanging out with my dad when I started doing this, because he had a background, and I come from a rich textile tradition, so I understood the property of materials. But it took a good year probably to really get a skill set down, and it was almost like an apprenticeship that we both went through together to figure it out. So it's not easy. And then people always say, well, how long does it make to make that hat? And I'll say that's about a 5-hour project plus 25 years of training on the job. So, you know, people forget that the longevity that we all have in our careers pays off with the product that we create at this point, or what we created 10 years ago. So I have fun looking at things I made in the beginning of my career and what I make now and what the journey has been. And also I want to say the relationship with the buyers is, I wouldn't have been able to make that journey unless people had bought for me along the way and watched me grow and supported me growing. And that's what I love about this form of art, is that craftspeople really do get a following. And then it's the whole connection. It's my one little byline that I often say during interviews. But when I drink a cup of coffee in the morning, I love the fact that my friend Andy Hampton, who lives here in the area, made that mug. And it's kind of, you know, an intimate moment that I remember the conversation that we had when I bought the mug, and how much I enjoy my coffee because it's not in something made from another country. But it's made by someone I know.
Yeah.
That is very special. And it's, you know, a special feeling that you get every time you look at that mug, take a drink out of that mug, and also a special feeling that people will get when they receive a gift that is purchased at this festival over the weekend, or any
strong transition.
Right. Well, I don't know about that, but
I am hiring that man for marketing. That was very good.
But the Capital Arts Fest coming up this weekend, the 25th and 26th. We know the show airs at a variety of times on a variety of dates, but it's the 25th and 26th this weekend, South Main Street in downtown Concord. And right there, you know, you'll find the headquarters for the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. It's right there, right in the middle of everything, Miriam.
Get your shopping done.
Yeah, absolutely. And really take advantage of all the other events that are happening this week. And we actually start, we're not doing anything on the 24th, but there's an event down at Kimball Jenkins. There's some wonderful things happening outside of the crafts fair that we encourage people to go. And that website that the Chamber has put up will direct you to a wonderful schedule. Please take a look at it. Reach out if you have any questions. We're happy to take your calls at the League or at the Chamber.
This is really Concord, and you know, to a certain extent, Lake Sunapee, when you have the festival up there every year. It's really become the focal point for these artists in the region. So that is a great thing, and you'll have the opportunity to see so many on display. How many artists taking place? Again, I know you mentioned it, Miriam.
No problem. We have about 39 artists right now. Yep.
Wow. That is terrific. And all under tents, folks. So again, no matter what the weather, you'll be able to do that. And not only talk with the artisans involved, you know, have an opportunity to purchase the items too, and make a very, very unique gift. And as Miriam mentioned, there is so much collaboration with this one, because not only is it the visual arts, but it's the performing arts as well. And there's going to be performances at the Kimball Jenkins School of Art, State Capitol building. There'll be tours there as well as performances. The Bank of New Hampshire stage, which is right in the middle of it, right in the middle of this event. Concord Community Music School, Canterbury Shaker Village, NHTI, the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center, Gibson's Bookstore, which is right there, and the Hatbox Theater, which is at the Steeplegate Mall. So, so many venues taking part, and it really has become, Miriam, a great collaborative event.
That's our hope. We've had this vision for some time, and we also wanted to kind of use this coming out of COVID as, you know, we're still in the middle of this pandemic, but we're learning how to live with COVID, and we wanted to kind of reawaken and celebrate Concord getting through COVID as well as it did. I think the city did a great job. I think the governor did a great job. The state reps, we've all gotten through this. We need to keep doing our part, of course, to make it come to an end, but we wanted to bring people together in a safe environment. In the past, Ken, we did have big, large white tents. This year, we're back to the model we used last year, spacing our artists apart by about 5 feet. It's the model that we used at the annual Craftsman's Fair. So there's plenty of ability to move around and separate yourself from people if you're at all concerned. And of course, we always encourage vaccination too, but I don't get too political in this position. So
okay. So there are tents though, right?
Yes, all the artists are in their own 10 by 10 tents, so that people are undercover.
In their own tents, okay.
Yeah, just a little bit of a change to honor the pandemic issues.
Gotcha. Miriam Carter is with us. She is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, and we will take a quick break. Feldis and Kale at 1039 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can find them on the web at weedfamilyautomotive.com. 1039, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com, Feldis and Kale. And we are brought to you by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive of Concord as well. Our guest is Miriam Carter. She is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. And Miriam, how long have you been at the job now?
In January, I'll have been here 5 years, which has gone very quickly.
I'll bet it hasn't. And how has your position changed over the years?
So I think over the 5 years I've been there, Ken, is that the question?
Yeah.
Over the past?
Yeah.
I think, you know, basically from the start, I really understood that we were a statewide organization and needed to make ourselves really well known in the state. So the league was beloved, but and respected, and people appreciated who we are and what we did, but not a whole lot of people knew who we are and what we did unless their families had gone to the annual Craftsman's Fair. People either knew us from our galleries or our fair. And I've tried to, with my team, and I have an incredible team, basically broaden our reach. Our mission is we're a 501c3, which is an educational organization. So our job is to promote the making and makers of craft. So events like the Capital Arts Fest were a way that we strive to bring craft to the street, bring the league to the street. So we've actually picked up a lot of new followers because we actually did this event for the past 3 years, and people found out about us, mostly young people. And what we're seeing now, especially at the big fair we saw this year, we certainly saw a demographic of retired folks, but we also saw a lot of families younger people, and we were thrilled. So our efforts to direct more people's attention to this organization and the importance of it in the state of New Hampshire is really paying off.
I was just going to say, I think your work, Miriam, and your efforts and your team's efforts, certainly amongst, for lack of a better word, the generation that I guess I'm in, mm-hmm. a young working family, I can tell you that people know about it. And they're going to be going down this weekend and buying for their kids and buying for their friends and invested in it and are aware of it. And I think it's great. I think the fact that, the awareness has grown, but the appreciation and respect for the work, mm-hmm. for the product, and for all that you do, I think has grown too.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that feedback. I'm much surprised, Dan, in my journey in this life professionally that I'm now advocating for an organization with over 650 members. I'm not afraid to call commissioners when I need their help.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
afraid to ask the governor to help us. And I really think the quality of life that you and your family and your friends all have here in the state should be rich and important. I think keeping young people here, or at least having young people recognize what a wonderful place it is to leave so that they will come back if they go away for a time, is really important. So it's very interesting to me, all the components that I didn't expect to deal with, but I am now dealing with to advocate for the creative economy and the importance of it in the state, and how to keep New Hampshire as more than just a place where people come to retire, but to actually be an active, vital state which attracts young people for lots of reasons, including arts.
Yep.
And this weekend, coming up on the 25th and 26th, the League will be featuring juried members and invited artists, and they'll be showcasing their handcrafted work, including mixed media, metal, jewelry, wood, glass, printmaking, and fiber. All right, for the uninitiated like me, Miriam Carter, what does it mean by mixed media?
It's a great question. So there's people who use a variety of materials in their work. So you could have a clay artist who suddenly wants to incorporate wood. Maybe they're making vases and they want to somehow incorporate a wood base on it. Or you're making jewelry and you use a variety of materials that you wouldn't expect. We had one artist that was putting asphalt in with silver. Sterling silver this year and some jewelry, or beach stones with jewelry stones. So it's basically you can be in one category, but then if you bring in other materials, you're going to be in the mixed media category, which before was a small category. We're seeing a lot more artists who are doing really interesting work with different materials. So it's not that it's a no man's land, but it is kind of the place for most arts organizations to put work that is very different and unusual and has a lot of different material used to create it.
Miriam Carter is with us. She is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen and the Capital Arts Fest coming up this weekend, the 25th and 26th. We'll take a quick break and back to wrap it up on 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Feldis and Kale, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers at Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. It's Feldis and Kale, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive. Weed Family Automotive, within walking distance of the Capital Arts Fest 2021 in downtown Concord. Weed Family Automotive at 124 Store Street in downtown Concord. Miriam Carter is our guest. I only have a couple of minutes left. So, Miriam, anything you'd like to pass along that we haven't touched on about the big weekend coming up?
Nope. I just encourage people to go to nhcrafts.org for more information. You can also go to the Chamber's website. And I encourage people to come on down and enjoy themselves. It's going to be a great weekend. And we're really excited to be able to produce this event once again.
That's 10 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday.
You got
correct?
It.
Okay. South Main Street, largely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there will be on Saturday some music going on a little bit later than that, I do believe.
The Capital Center for the Arts is doing performances on Friday. They've got Eagle Mania. They've got some great performances throughout the weekend at both stages. So it's really worth checking out websites. But, you know, go to nhcrafts.org. That's the starting place. And then that'll take you to the whole listing of what's happening.
Yeah. And again, other performances as well. Throughout the city, as a matter of fact, as we listed, not only the Capital Center for the Arts and the Bank of New Hampshire stage downtown, but the Kimball Jenkins School of Art, Canterbury Shaker Village, NHTI, the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center, Gibson's Bookstore, which is right there at the event, and the Hatbox Theater at the Steeplegate Mall. So it's in and around the city, and it's going to be a great couple of days. And then Miriam, you can take a break, right, for a little while.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd like to.
after all this is wrapped up, and again, bring now. I know this is a weird question, but Are you accepting cash at this event, or is it just credit cards?
Yes, we'll take everything at this event. And just we had a little bit of issues with Wi-Fi up at the mountain this summer that we're working through for next year. But anybody can pay with cash, credit cards, and it's all accepted.
You know, I only ask that because there are places now that don't take cash.
That's true.
I was at a football game over the weekend in the Meadowlands in New Jersey. They did not accept cash for anything.
Yeah, major areas aren't. Vail took away all of the ATMs and all of their cash opportunities there for their model. So different organizations are having different models now.
Miriam, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the event. See you there.
All right. Feldis and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord.